This week on the Digital Marketing Scoop, we're talking about video content creation with Fraser Cottrell. Fraser, very welcome to the podcast.
Hello, nice to see you. It's nice to hear an Irish accent in rainy Manchester, I have to say.
It's rainy Cork here. There are a lot of similarities.
Oh, okay, that's fine. Yeah, it's dark, rainy, miserable. It's not great outside, I have to say, at the moment.
Yeah, I think you can't quite see out the window here, but it's pretty much the same.
Yeah, we're just short of actually being able to pick it up on the mic.
I know, it was the wind as well here. So, hey, why are we talking about weather, right? It's the most British thing to open a conversation with, straight into the weather.
So Fraser, tell us a bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay, so I run a digital first video production company here in Manchester. We cover the entirety of the Northwest, but also we do venture sometimes outside of there. And essentially, we make video for digital platforms. So mostly for Facebook, for YouTube, Instagram, IGTV, all that. So we don't really dabble inside television and stuff like that because, I mean, we don't believe in it. We don't think that's the future of video. So we don't want to work with clients that think that's the way. But obviously, now and again, we might, you know, we might do something for a traditional media outlet, but it's mostly focused in digital. And then we do a lot of social stuff as well. We do also anything video and social, we normally do it.
So I presume it's not just video production from what I can see as well. There's a huge amount of concept and the creative side from your end that goes into it as well.
Yeah, so we do kind of the whole scope of it. So a client can come to us with just an idea and we kind of scope out the entire project, or they come to us and say, okay, I already have an idea, I already have a location, I already have actors, you just need to turn up, film it and edit it. And then that's what we'll do, you know. But we'll also give them a lot of social consultancy on the side of it so that when they deliver the video, it works. You know, we kind of know what works on social so that when... You know, so that the one thing we hate when we've worked with clients who do it in the past, they will make a video for them and they will just post it at like 1 o'clock on a Wednesday with like two hashtags on Instagram, and then they'll go, it didn't work, you know. And that's like the one thing we don't want, because obviously, you know, from a results standpoint, it means that it doesn't look great for us. It doesn't look great for the client. So we give them a lot of help on the social side of it to make sure that their videos actually deliver.
Cool. So I one thing I picked out there is you said you can know what works on social. So if we were to dig a little bit deeper into that, now I know obviously it's client specific, it's industry specific. There's so much that can go into it. But if you had some tips for businesses in terms of what is working very well on social, I suppose in particular Instagram, what kind of tips, what kind of information would you give them?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the major thing that I give to everybody is you need to work the platform. Every platform is entirely different. So whether you're on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever it is, every single platform works differently. You have different aspect ratios. I'd say that's the main thing. Like 16:9 traditional video, rectangle video doesn't work on Instagram. You know, it doesn't work because it takes up so little real estate that people kind of scroll past it. So that's why portrait stuff works really well on Instagram. And, you know, you never have, I mean, kind of IGTV, I'd always say, is kind of like vertical first. Obviously, they've introduced the fact that you can upload 16:9 videos now, but nobody ever does it. Like, people like switch off. If you work the platform to its advantages, you can make something work for you, you know. So yeah, it just comes down to, like, you need to learn the social media platform before you become active on it. Everyone's always talking about TikTok and how it's the best thing and since sliced bread and everybody needs to be on it. But I think that unless you consume on that platform, there's no point making an account and going, okay, here we go, we're going to post on it, because it's just not going to work, because you don't know the way it works. You don't know how people engage on the platform. Like, you need to know that platform back to front before you start creating content for it.
Yeah, definitely. And it's very easy to get sucked into TikTok if anyone is like looking to like submerge themselves in it. I can vouch for getting addicted to it very quickly.
It's insane.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean that's like the one thing that people are loving, is that it's very similar to how Instagram was in the early days, where it's like, you know, you can just spend hours on it. You know, like, although, I mean, it's probably not meant for our ages. I do feel a bit old when I'm on it.
Oh, me too, definitely.
You know, like, I mean, yeah, last night I was on one of our work accounts on it, and there was just some schoolgirls in the school bathroom, like, dancing. I was like, oh my God, what am I looking at? Like, this, like, the, I probably shouldn't be on this app, right? And it's just, yeah, it is, TikTok is a weird one. It's a, you know, like, I think it's going to take a long time for it to become more than just a app for kids.
Yeah,
I do think though that the acceleration will happen quicker. We've had a kind of a big migration from Facebook to Instagram now, but that's taken quite a long time. I do think something like TikTok or whatever comes along next, that those migrations to different apps are going to get quicker and quicker. I feel
like we're almost due a new platform. Don't when you feel like you're looking through social
it's
media.
True. Yeah. I think, it is a bit of a weird one. We've been doing some little bits for TikTok using a few of our brands. And it's like, I mean, it works. Oh my God. Like, you hardly need to put any effort into it to get results, which I think is like the main reason why people are like so crazy about it. But it's like, I think it's going to be a while until it works for businesses. Like, you have people like Gary Vee preaching that it's, you know, if you're a brand, you need to be on TikTok. But again, like, unless you consume for a little bit on it and see what people are doing and kind of work out a niche, you will go on it and you will fail, and it just, you know, it won't be good for anybody involved.
Yeah, and you really need to have a brand as well that's open to experiment a little bit if they're going to be happy to dive into TikTok very quickly after this much time.
Yeah, if you're a particularly conservative brand, it probably isn't a place to go.
I can't imagine,
away.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love to see the results that a lot of recruitment agencies get, because, I mean, like, some of the LinkedIn videos that I've seen, like, get a lot of engagement, and that's where recruitment is, and it works really well. But then I've seen people posting, like, they were posting recruitment videos on TikTok asking people to apply for a job, and I was a bit like, who gave the okay for this? Because, like, they're going to get some applicants for a lot of 13-year-olds to be working as a manager in it. It was a bit of a weird one. I think you do need to be a certain type of brand, right? There's a lot of trendy marketing agencies that are on it, and it works amazingly, and I think it's a good case study for them as well that we can do this with TikTok. I think just because it's the it platform doesn't mean that it's the right platform for you.
I suppose, from flipping to a very different network, LinkedIn. LinkedIn at the moment is working quite well in terms of consuming content. It's like the organic reach, and it just seems very, very good at
the
moment.
It's so good. And just to chime in there, I'm actually really loving your videos at the moment on LinkedIn. They're great.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Yeah, it's, man, LinkedIn has been like, I started first using LinkedIn like 2 years ago because everybody who's in business needs to be on LinkedIn, right? And I was just using it. I mean, I'm guilty of this, and I think a lot of people who might be listening are probably guilty. They have mass messaged people in the past to try and get clients in, like that, like, because that's what everybody was doing. That was the trend, to mass message people on LinkedIn to try and get work in. I've done it. I've tried it. It fails, right? And there's a lot of companies still selling that service, and I think they're kidding themselves along with their clients that this is a good method of bringing it. I get cold messages every day. I got one before. My latest video was about stop selling and start creating, and the whole idea was, stop sending me mass messages, I'm not going to listen, and if you want somebody to buy something from you, then do something more than a sales pitch. I just got a message by somebody wanting me to attend an event. It was a 3-paragraph message about how great their networking event is and how I should pay £50 for a ticket. And I just like forwarded in my video. I was like, come on, guys. Like, you clearly haven't like done your research here. Yeah, I think LinkedIn is like, you know, again, every creator, like, you know, on YouTube and your Gary Vee and stuff like that are all preaching LinkedIn is amazing. It's one of the only things that I agree with Gary Vee on, is that like LinkedIn is a place to be. Like right now, if you want to create content, you're a business owner, whatever you are, like LinkedIn is the place to be. 110%.
Definitely. We definitely see probably majority of our reach as well through LinkedIn, by LinkedIn followed by Twitter, then Instagram, then Facebook probably.
No, LinkedIn.
Yeah, we don't really touch Twitter. It's like, I don't know, like we kind of, it's a bit of a throwaway platform for us, but I see a lot of companies getting like amazing results on Twitter, and I don't know what it is. We've never really got into it to the extent that it's brought us any kind of success.
I think as well with Twitter though, like we've said this before in a different podcast, but it's one of those platforms that you need to be addicted to Twitter. Like you need to be going onto Twitter and kind of tweeting 10, 12 times a day and kind of really engaging and talking to people constantly on it. It's kind of a constant platform rather it's definitely a lot.
Yeah.
You need to put in a lot.
Do you find that, you know, from like a business account perspective on Twitter, like are you engaging with people and having like normal conversations with them? And then like, is that giving you any kind of like, you know, brand awareness, or is that just something which you're just doing so that you're on Twitter?
I think, yeah, it could be a little bit of a mixture. So like, say for example, recently we were at a digital marketing awards event, and it's at things like those where there's a sudden splurge locally of something going on that it's really good. But like on a day-to-day basis, that very much flatlines.
And there is some general brand awareness. If we were to look at where client acquisition actually happens, that's LinkedIn. That's where people are finding us and reaching out, where inbound leads are actually coming from. But you, at the same time, it's like anything, you might have a touch point on Twitter, a touch point on Facebook, you've touch point on Instagram, but then and then LinkedIn is the final contact. So I do think, you know, it's still good to be across everything, but you know, focus on the ones you're best at, or the ones that are going to provide you the most value.
I definitely do. Like when we make our content, we have LinkedIn in mind, and then we'll cut it a little shorter or do something with it for Twitter, but it's only just because it's an option.
Yeah. That's really interesting. I mean, for us, obviously we're a small agency. There's only three of us. So it's like our social media manager, she focuses on like Facebook, and she's really, again, like Instagram is something for us as a company, which our own personal company page, we don't really pay much attention to it. We probably should do. You know, but then we have our like brands that we manage as well, which like, you know, obviously we spend the majority of our time on growing and making content for, but like we don't, other than my LinkedIn videos, we don't directly make company content, because I feel like that is very branded in a sense. Whereas if it's coming from me, people connect with a person more than they do a brand, obviously. So it's like for us, thankfully, you know, like Nick, my business partner, if I put him in front of a camera, he'd probably break down and cry, and Hannah would probably be the same as well. So it's like, it's quite thankful that I'm in the position that I am, that I can, you know, quite freely talk about things. And I think if you're, you know, like I've seen a lot of people making content for LinkedIn, just posting it directly to their company page, or posting it, you know, kind of like as their company, less of themselves. And I think that's my first piece of advice for LinkedIn, is like, you need to just be yourself and kind of, you know, let people connect with you as a person instead of you as a brand or a company.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, people buy from people they like. So it's just taking those personal relationships and trying to build them online, basically.
And we definitely do that with our kind of content as well. A lot of the time we'll push it out from us rather than the company as well, and kind of mix and match it a little bit.
And I think for any B2B company, I mean, the goal online is obviously to establish yourselves as the expert within the industry. And I think LinkedIn is the perfect platform to push out that content.
It literally goes without saying, you have a platform which is Facebook for people in business. Like that's exactly what LinkedIn is, right? It's like, you know, like it is the perfect, you know, the perfect customer is on LinkedIn. And it's just, you know, it used to be, you know, like even my brother, you know, like my brother works in radio and he just doesn't understand LinkedIn. He's never logged on the app properly. He just like doesn't understand it. He still thinks it's this business thing where, you know, where people just kind of, you know, talk about business and pie charts and, you know, and stuff like that. But like it's kind of when you delve a bit deeper and get into the actual sphere, which is LinkedIn, where you start to see value. You see other people creating content, you see, you know, you kind of get into that world a little bit more, And then that's where it starts to provide value, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like we've almost gone like a LinkedIn podcast instead of video. Yeah.
Yeah. It is like a really interesting thing at the moment because, you know, like we said, it's like a traditional business platform and people are using it to create like YouTube style content on, right? Yeah. This is bizarre. Like, what a weird change of a social media platform.
Yeah, it's like Facebook 5 years ago. You know, it's the algorithm is all thumbs up for everyone at the moment. It'll be interesting to see how if we were to have the same conversation in 18 months.
Yeah, I think LinkedIn really needs to be careful not to screw themselves and stab themselves in the back, I think, because like if they just carry on the way they are now and improve things like their whole entire ad platform, which I mean, I don't understand how people deal with like running LinkedIn ads, but like if they work hard on that and ironing out all the user problems and all the, you know, kind of server issues they have all the time, genuinely they could have like by far one of the most successful like social media platforms for like, you know, the everyday worker, I think.
Yeah, it's such a shame that because it is a platform at the moment that has a few years behind it. And I mean, they haven't even simple features like scheduling a post. Or, you know, the ad platform. At the moment, they're trolling me on Instagram ads to use their platform. And I'm like, oh, are you using the cheaper platform too, LinkedIn? You know,
yeah. It's crazy. Yeah, but again, like I kind of like the simplicity of LinkedIn that it doesn't have all these, like, you know, features where people can abuse them. And like, you know, kind of you have to, you know, like when I want to post a video, I have to go onto my computer or my phone. I have to write the copy. I have to post the video. I have to, like, you know, there's quite a, you know, it's quite nice to be able to do that instead of just go, okay, so I've made 10 videos. I'm going to schedule them for the next week and forget about it. Like, you know, it's because that is very much how social media management as a whole tends to be. And it kind of takes away a bit of the magic, especially like, you know, if you've kind of grafted on a piece of content, if I post it, I'm going to stick around for the next hour or so to make sure that it's well received and that I'm replying to comments and I'm, you know, like, it gives you a little more control and it's a bit more therapeutic, I think, LinkedIn, in the way that it's working at the moment.
You're That's actually true. A bit more connected to it from a,
yeah, for
a real
sure.
perspective as yeah. opposed to just numbers of likes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it's not saturating the newsfeed either, I guess.
What was that, sorry?
It's not oversaturating the newsfeed either if everyone was... Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
Man, I would hate to think, as soon as scheduling, like proper scheduling comes to LinkedIn, we're screwed. Everyone is going to be like posting 8 times a day. They're going to backlog content and it's going to be, you know, an absolute mess. I can see it coming already.
So in terms of like for business here, we do things like testimonial videos, how-tos, explainers, I suppose they'd kind of be the three kind of main ones that we would work with clients on. Obviously you work on the creative side a lot. Is there any other types of videos you think that can work really well for people?
I think in like engagement content in general, testimonials are great. Like, you know, I think if you are a B2B company, if you're a B2C company, whatever you are, if you don't have video testimonials right now, I think you're kind of doing something wrong because, you know, like we've been building a new landing page for our ads and like, you know, it's weird. We're a video company. We don't have video testimonials and it feels so weird, you know, like we could go out and make these fairly easily, but we just haven't. So we have text testimonials and it just doesn't work, right? It doesn't convey your point properly. And so
it doesn't make it real.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, exactly. For sure. It, you know, like you said earlier, people buy from people and people, you know, people take recommendations from other people. And so I think like, yeah, testimonial videos. But I think just general engagement content, which like the whole reason for it, you know, like you should never have a whole feed full of sales content, right? You need content to fill in those gaps and you need content which drives followers and drives engagement. And that's where, you know, general original content comes. You know, we have a big push at the moment for all of our clients. Like, you need to be making original content. Like, some of the brands that we work with are some of the biggest followings in the world. You know, like we've worked with Pretty Little Thing and places like that, you know. And when you look at the, you know, the Pretty Little Thing podcast, is it hit like a million followers, a million downloads or something the other week. Like, this is a business that is making a podcast. This isn't, you know, like a YouTuber which has made a podcast. It's a business and they've got a million downloads. Like, and that's because they're adding something value to their customers, right? And so like, I think in any way that you can add value to a customer, whether it is podcast clips or whether it's, you know, behind the scenes stuff. You know, maybe if you're a film company, people really enjoy seeing behind the scenes of stuff. You know, if you're, you know, a food photographer, you know, and you're looking, you know, to show your clients what goes into a day, like behind the scenes of a food shoot, like people love food, people love seeing behind the scenes of stuff, you know. So like general content that fills the gaps where your sales content isn't going, I think is that definitely something people should be creating.
Yeah, I think as well a lot of people forget, because when you're in your day-to-day activities, you forget that if someone else looking in on it, they would find that new and exciting, and the thought of videoing it seems mundane or something, where in actuality, yeah, that's perfectly good content to record.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. People get, you know, like people ask us all the time, you know, like, oh, wow, you know, what goes into like a day shooting? It's like, yeah, I just go set up the camera, do a bit of, you know, directing, this and that. They're like, whoa. And I'm like, yeah, it's every day for me. Like, you know, it's like, it's pretty standard for, you know, it's the same with anything, you know, like for what you do isn't really magic or isn't really interesting because you do it every single day, you know, but there is people out there which could be a customer, which would find it like incredibly interesting to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in terms of, we'd say smaller businesses who, they haven't really dipped their toe into video yet. If they're starting off in-house, I suppose there's two things. There's obviously the ideas, which we've kind of touched on there, but I suppose there's also for them is the equipment side of things. What advice would you have for people just starting out, just dipping their toe, whether, no matter what platform it is?
Yeah, video doesn't need to be expensive, right? It's something we tell clients all the time. Like, yeah, okay, right now my webcam is currently a £10,500 camera. Okay, great.
You are crystal clear, though.
Yeah, yeah, but that's because it's my job, right? It's like a barber isn't going to spend £10 on a pair of scissors, right? It's like, you know, but just because, you know, just because we charge money for the product doesn't mean that you, like, something you shoot on your phone will serve the same purpose. People invest in video companies to do things because they want it done a certain way, and they, you know, there's certain things that we can do which the average Joe can't, you know, do. And genuinely, like I have the brand new iPhone and it's amazing. Like the camera is incredible. Like we do a lot of like stock photo and stock video. 70% of the stock photos we've uploaded this month has been from our phones. Like, these are professional photos which people are downloading and using for their, you know, for their marketing and stuff like that. It's the same with the video. Just all you need to do with any camera, no matter how bad it is, make sure it's really well lit. Like, you know, stand in front of a window, you know, get your lamp and bounce it off a white wall. Literally right now I have like a big light and I'm just bouncing it off the white wall in front of me. You know, and it's like just doing something like that fills your face and makes you look well lit. And then, you know, if you want to, you know, put a little bit more money into it, you can get like a little tripod for your phone, you know, probably cost like £10 on Amazon, you know, and get like a little microphone. You can get these little Rode microphones, which like they're like little clip on lavalier microphones. Search it on Amazon. It's like called the, I don't know, Pro Lav or something like that. The Smart Lav, I think it's called. It's like £40. It plugs into the bottom of your phone and it will give you professional grade, like we use them for our videos. Like they plug into your phone, allows you to record professional grade audio. Do that, set up your camera and just do it. Like, and then it's that simple. People's phones are amazing. People don't realize how good your phone is. The reason your phone looks rubbish 90% of the time is because you're in a dark room. Like that's why no camera, our cameras look rubbish in the dark. Like if you set up a light, an office light, a window, whatever it is, and you stand in front of it, your photos, your video will look a billion times better. So just invest in some good audio equipment, like because people need to hear you properly. Just use your phone, get a tripod, something like that, and just, you know, just kind of mess about and see what you can do. And then even editing now, like Adobe Rush is, I think it's called, for, you can download it on your phone, a full piece of editing software on your phone. iMovie, like it's free on a Mac. Is it free still? I think it might be.
I think it is. It's online anyway, yeah. And Splice on mobile as well is quite a good one.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's one which people don't like. There's a thing called DaVinci Resolve. It's made by a company called Blackmagic. And it is like Blackmagic make cameras. They're a professional cinema company, but they have a software, an editing software called DaVinci Resolve, and it's free. You can go and download it. It's obviously, if you pay for it, you get more features, but the average Joe won't need those features. You can download it for free, and it will give you professional grade editing. Like, there are films that are cut on this software, and it's free. There is, you know, like, nothing is holding you back from making content. Like, money is no longer the thing that holds you back from making content.
Yeah, it's just time, putting in a bit of time, really.
Yeah, time, effort, and as you said, to get to learn the tools. The tools are there for free. It's just a case of
You know, like, all you need to do, you want to learn how to edit, search, download DaVinci Resolve and search on YouTube how to edit in DaVinci Resolve, and there will be a million people which have done the same thing. Myself and Nick, we learn our entire craft from reading books and watching YouTube videos. Like, you know, that it just happens that we were good at it. Like, that obviously that helps, but like, you know, anybody can learn to do something. If you really want to learn to make graphics, or, you know, just YouTube it. It's the easiest answer I can give anybody.
Brilliant. Fraser, if people want to find out a bit more about your business or see your work, where should they head to?
They can search me out on LinkedIn, Fraser Cottrell. You can find my company. We're called Fraggle Productions. It's a bit of a weird name, I know, but it's Fraggell Productions, FraggleProductions.com. You can search us, find us, but LinkedIn is probably a pretty safe place to get me. Just search out my name and you'll find me there.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Thank you very much. That was really interesting.
No worries. Thanks very much for having me.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. That's been this week's episode of the Digital Marketing Scoop.